So the sermon this morning will be based on Lord's Day 2, which deals with the law of God and how it shows us our sin and our need for a Saviour. So in connection with this, we are going to read from Romans 7, which also deals with the law of God. So let's read Romans 7, verse 7 to 25, which can be found on page 1299 in your Bibles. Romans 7, verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, "You shall not covet." But sin, taking an opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment, which was to bring life, I found to bring death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me and by it killed me. Therefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not, but sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. For if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So far a reading from Romans 7. And now we'll turn to Lord's Day 2 in the Heidelberg Catechism, which can be found on page 872 of your Trinity Psalter Hymnals, or page 202 in the Forms and Prayer Book. So Lord's Day 1, which we dealt with last week, it talked about the comfort it is that we belong to Jesus Christ. And then it asked the question, what we must know in order to live and die in the joy of that comfort. And the answer to that question was that we needed to know three things: our guilt, the grace of God in saving us from our guilt, and also the way we live for God, our gratitude. So Lord's Day 2, it starts off by asking how we know our guilt. And this is what Lord's Day 2 says. It says, how do you come to know your misery? The law of God tells me. What does God's law require of us? Christ teaches us this in a summary in Matthew 22, verse 37 to 40. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the greatest and the first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Can you live up to all this perfectly? No. I am inclined by nature to hate God and my neighbor. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, what is the point of the law? What is the point of the Ten Commandments? Every Sunday, week after week after week, we read it out in the morning service, don't we? So that shows that we give it importance. We value it. But do we need to value it? How much importance does it actually have? After all, Jesus tells us in Matthew 5 that he came to fulfill the law, and he did fulfill it. He lived perfectly, he obeyed all the commandments his entire life, so that we wouldn't have to in order to gain salvation. He never broke even one of these commandments. So if the law has been fulfilled, does that mean we have it all wrong? Why do we even bother with the law at all? Yet, although the law has been fulfilled, it still has relevance. It still has value. The entire Word of God, the whole Bible, it has abiding value, we are told. And the law is included in that. So even though the law has been fulfilled, it still has a purpose. It points us to the one who fulfilled it. It points us to Jesus. And it points us to how much we need Jesus. In fact, it is Jesus Christ who uses the law to show us how much we do need him. That's what Lord's Day 2 is telling us. It is showing us that we are sinful. And because we are sinful, we are in need of a Savior. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning under this theme. Christ teaches us how much we need him in the law. And we'll see the law's character, the law's conditions, and the law's conviction. So first of all, we'll look at the law's character. So the law, it's been fulfilled in Jesus Christ, but it still has purpose. Theologians over the years, they've shown the character of the law by teaching that it has three distinct uses. The first use of the law is just a rule of life, to restrain evil, to promote righteousness. The second use of the law is to show us how sinful we are, how weak we are, and how much we need Jesus Christ. And the third, which is why we read the Ten Commandments this morning, is it shows us how we are to direct our lives out of thankfulness to God for what he has done for us. It's gratitude. We've listened to the Ten Commandments because it shows us how we are to live in gratitude for the saving work of Jesus Christ. And what we're dealing with in Lord's Day 2 is what we call the second use of the law, where the law shows us how sinful, how weak we are. That's what question and answer 3 gets at when it asks this: how do you come to know your sin and misery? The law of God tells me. That's the answer. That's why we read the law every Sunday, because it shows us our sin and misery. But why is that important? It's important because of what we learnt in Lord's Day 1, question and answer 2. To live and die in the joy, belonging to Jesus Christ, we need to know our sin and misery. We need to know our guilt. If we don't, we can't live and die in the joy of that comfort. So that is why we need to know our sin and misery. That's so important. Do you understand? Do you acknowledge that you need to know this? That you have to know how sinful you are in order to receive comfort? And do you understand? Do you realize that the only way you come to know your sin is through the law of God? The law isn't just given to us so that we can understand what our sin is, but it is given to us so that we truly know how miserable we are. We see that in Romans 7, where Paul tells us that the law brought death to him. He says that it killed him. The law teaches us that we are so sinful that we deserve death. Is that what you think about every week when the Ten Commandments are read out to you? That they show you that you are worthy of death. Maybe you hear them every week. Maybe you even have them memorized. So you find it easy to zone out or to think about some other things. But the law, it shows us the evil that is within our hearts, the reason we deserve eternal punishment of body and soul. Yet in reading the law, God is giving us this time to read the law out of grace for us. It is an opportunity of grace because he wants us to have the comfort of Lord's Day 1. He delights in his children. He delights in us being comforted. So when the law is read out, it isn't only so that you can be reminded what the commandments are. It's a time where we can evaluate our lives, where we can think about the commandments and God's requirements for holiness for us and how much we fall short, how weak, how inadequate we are. If we don't think of these things, we won't see ourselves as we truly are, totally unable to win God's favor and dead in sin. We can be led down the track of self-righteousness where we think we are okay people. And when we think we are okay people, we stop running to Jesus Christ. But we need to run to Jesus Christ in order to have comfort. If we don't know that we are sinful, we won't know that we have to receive comfort in Jesus Christ. And so that's why it's so important for us to have the law, to teach us about our sin. That's why we read Romans 7. Because it reminds us that the law shows us our sin. It says, I would not have known sin except through the law, for I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. And because it's vital for our salvation that we know our sin, we should be encouraged to spend time reading the law and reflecting on it, evaluating our lives. It's not something that we enjoy doing. We don't like being told that we're sinful people. Who likes dwelling on their sin? Who likes dwelling on how much they fall short? Yet, by teaching us the law, God, he is showing us so much grace so that we can realize how much we truly need him. For without that, we will not know our sin and misery, and then we can have no comfort in life and in death. That is why even though Jesus Christ fulfilled the law, he still taught us all about the law. All out of love and grace for us. So also in his love and his care for us, he teaches us the law's conditions, what the law actually says. And that's what we're going to look at now. The law's conditions. So the law shows us our guilt. It shows us the misery we have without Jesus Christ. Obviously, then we need to know what the law is all about. We need to know its conditions. That's why question and answer 4 asks the question, what does God's law require of us? And this is a very good question. What does it require of us? There could be several good ways that the Catechism could answer this question. Here it could list out the 10 commandments in full so that we can look at each and every single one of the 10 commandments. Evaluate our lives compared to them. Or perhaps even better, it could give us the reference to the Sermon on the Mount, which really gets to the heart of the law. Listen to what Jesus teaches us in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And he also says this, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery in his heart. These things, they really get to the heart of the law's condition. But the Catechism, it gives a different answer. an answer which also gets to the heart of the matter. The character of the law, as we saw, is to teach us our sin. And so as an answer to this question, what does God require of us in his law? Christ is teaching us in this answer. The answer to question 4 says that Christ teaches us this in a summary in Matthew 22. And in the context of the quote that is following, that you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, Jesus is indeed teaching. In this passage in Matthew 22, Jesus is being tested by the Pharisees, and it says that one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, trying to test him, saying, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." You see, Jesus, he is our chief prophet, he is our chief teacher. And he teaches us, he reveals to us the way that God saves us. And so as our prophet and teacher, he teaches us plainly and clearly what God's law requires of us, so that we know how sinful we are, so that we know how much we need him. So Jesus is at work in his law so that we may know our misery. The lawyer, the Pharisees asking this question, were trying to test Jesus. But in response, Jesus taught them, and he teaches us, a very valuable lessons. The Ten Commandments, they can be boiled down to this summary: we must love the Lord with all our being, and we must love our neighbor as ourselves. All the law and the prophets, they all depend on these two commandments. To this lawyer, to the Pharisees, this would have been a shock. And it should be for us too. Keeping the Ten Commandments perfectly, it all amounts to nothing if we don't do it out of love for God and for our neighbor. If you are obeying the law outwardly, but your heart is not in it, it's all worthless. That is why Jesus spoke out against the scribes and the Pharisees. He was showing them that they missed the point of the law. They were only worried about external living. Yet the law is holy and good. But the law is all about loving God and your neighbor. And if you don't do that, then you're not obeying the law of God at all. Even if you will yourself to refrain from gossip, even if you show love to absolutely everyone, even if you act as the most humble person, it all counts for nothing if in the end you're doing it for your own reputation, if you're not doing it out of love for God. If you don't do everything out of love for God and for your neighbor, you are not obeying the law at all. That's why Jesus said to the scribes and Pharisees, "Woe to you, hypocrites, for you pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone." Do you understand what that means, congregation? Do you realize that in this, Christ is teaching us that you have to obey the Ten Commandments perfectly? And even more than that, Jesus is teaching you that when you are obeying the law, you have to do it out of wholehearted devotion to him. Is that you? Is all your heart, your soul, mind, and strength, is your whole being, every single part of you, living for the purpose of loving God? That is what Jesus taught the Pharisees, and that is what Jesus is teaching us. In the law, he is getting at the heart of the matter. He is getting to our hearts. Do you see that? Do you get that? And do you realize what a blessing that is? God, he isn't just a God of rules. He is a God who desires our hearts. He desires our devotion to him. And not only do we have to love God, but we have to love our neighbors too. And this follows on from loving God, doesn't it? If you love God, you will serve him by serving others. That is why God teaches us in 1 John 2, he who is in the light, that is he who loves God. If that person hates his brother, he is in darkness until now. So we must love our neighbors, otherwise we are neglecting to obey the law and we are not obeying God after all. That is what the law requires. That's what the conditions of the law are. So where are you at? Even in this past week, did you have even a single hateful thought towards your brother or your sister or your spouse? Did you not love your parents, your colleagues, your next door neighbor with your whole heart? Even if you thought evil of them in your heart, you have failed. And if you have failed to love them, you have failed to love God. And you have failed to obey the whole law. Does that register in your heart? Does that make you feel uneasy? If it does, praise God. For that is how Christ teaches us our sin, so that we can receive comfort, so that we go to him. That's the purpose of the law. That's one of the purposes of the law. It's to convict us of our sin. And that's what we'll see in our next point. The law's conviction. Ultimately, the law makes us look within. It convicts us that we are unable to keep it. Question and answer 5 puts it like this. Can you live up to all this perfectly? No, I'm inclined by nature to hate God and my neighbor. It's not just that we fail to love God and our neighbor, but we are inclined by nature to hate them, to hate God. If we have a good, hard look at ourselves, that's true, isn't it? Even if we desire to serve God, we fall short. That is what Paul is getting at in Romans 7. He understands that we are by nature sinful and that we cannot escape that even if we try our best. He says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, the good that I desire to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, the evil things that I don't want to do, I do them anyway. I practice them." And we know that we do these evil things because we have the law. The law convicts us. And it's interesting that both Jesus Christ and Satan, they both use the law to convict us. But Christ, he does it out of love and grace for us. Whereas the devil, Satan, he uses the law to convict us, to drive a wedge between us and God. The devil uses the law to show us how bad we are, to show us how guilty we are. But he uses it for his own purposes. When we read the law, when we evaluate our lives, Satan is trying to whisper in our ear that we are unworthy, that we don't deserve to be right with God, that we don't deserve to have Jesus as our Savior. And he's right. But Satan so often uses half-truths to disguise his terrible lies. Brothers and sisters, when you hear the law of God, watch out for the lies of the devil. It is true that we don't deserve to have Jesus Christ as our Savior, but for the grace of God. Yet Satan tries to tell you that you don't deserve Jesus and that you cannot have Jesus. You cannot have Jesus because you are so wicked, you are so sinful, you are so dirty that he will never accept you. But that's a lie. That is not why Jesus teaches us about the law. Forgiveness was even offered to those who killed Jesus. We read about that in Acts 3 a couple of weeks ago. Forgiveness was offered to the Apostle Paul, even though he was one of the church's greatest enemies before he was converted. He was murdering those who confess faith in Jesus Christ. So when you see your sin in the law, when you feel like you'll never be worthy of forgiveness, look at the grace of God in situations like that. Is that what you do? When you look at the law, do you dwell on your failings so long that you fail to look to Jesus? Turn your eyes away from yourself and onto Him, onto the grace of God given you in the cross of Jesus Christ. The law is meant to convict us so that we despair, so that we realize we can find no hope in ourselves. But that's not where it's meant to leave us. The law isn't meant to convict us so that we lose hope. Rather, the law is there to convict us in order to drive us to Jesus Christ, because it is in Him and only in Him that we do have hope. That's how Jesus Christ uses the law. He sends us His Spirit to convict us, to convict our hearts that we are sinful. And He does this out of grace, grace for us, so that we can see how much we need Jesus Christ. Because ultimately, we do. That's why Paul says in Romans 7:24, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Who will deliver me from sin?" And he says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." God graciously works with His law to point us to our sin. And in His grace, He shows us our sin so that we can be pointed to Jesus Christ. The law, it teaches us how much we need Jesus Christ. Because Jesus, He was the only man who could perfectly obey the law. He obeyed all of the Ten Commandments. He obeyed the summary of the law that God gives us, that He gave us, to love God and to love neighbor. He loved God so much that He died on the cross to bring God's people back to Him. And He loved His neighbor so much, He loved us so much, that He bore the wrath of God so that we, His neighbors, despite our sin, could be brought back to Him. He fulfilled the law. He obeyed it perfectly so that sinners like you and like me could be brought back to God. So where does that leave us? Jesus has fulfilled the law. He paid the ultimate price on the cross so that the law wouldn't be a burden to us, so that it wouldn't weigh us down. But the law, it still has purpose. It convicts us of our sins so that we run to Jesus Christ. So are you running to Him? Are you running to Jesus? He gives us the law to teach us about Him, to teach us that we need Him. And He encourages us, He tells us to come to Him. He says in Matthew 11, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. For if we see the law, if we see the Ten Commandments as something we have to obey in order to gain salvation, that yoke, it's so heavy. We could never keep it. We could never, ever earn our own salvation. That's actually why it's a comfort. It's a comfort that we cannot keep the law. Imagine that if you tried really hard, if you put all your energy into trying to keep the Ten Commandments, that you could actually obey them. It would mean that you would be forever evaluating your behavior and your actions to see if you are worthy, if you are worthy to come before God in and of yourself. Do you understand how debilitating that is? Have you ever known someone who you felt was always judging you? Always evaluating your behavior, always sizing you up And without them even saying it, you knew that you never measured up to their expectations of you. That no matter how hard you tried, you could never live up to their standard. It's stressful, it's tiresome. You're just always working so hard so that you can live up to their standard. Imagine then trying to live up to the highest standard. The standard that God gives us in His Word. We couldn't. We couldn't live up to that standard. But Jesus, He did that for us. We are worthy only because of the worthiness of Christ who imputes, who gives us His perfect obedience. As if we have obeyed the law ourselves. And He gives that to us only if we believe in Him. The yoke of Jesus, it's easy. His burden is light because we no longer have to worry about our ability to keep the law. We can rest assured in His ability. So take hold of Jesus by faith. Run to Him. For without Him, without living for Him, the law will be your enemy. It will convict you of your sin, but it will give you no comfort. So as you go from here, how will you see the law? What will you be thinking of when you read it, when you hear it? Next week, Sunday morning, when you hear the law, the Ten Commandments being read out, what will you be thinking of? What will you see? Will you see your own sin, your own inadequacies? Will you see Jesus' perfect obedience? Will you see a way to live out of gratitude, out of thankfulness for God, for the grace He has shown you? By God's grace, you'll see all three of these things. But without the first, without realizing that we are completely sinful and totally inadequate, the rest is meaningless. It's a gift of God that He gives us the law. For apart from the law, we wouldn't know our sin. We wouldn't know that we need Jesus Christ. But through the law, we can see the cross. Through the law, we can see our need for that cross. So praise God for the law. Praise Him for giving us the commandments. That might sound strange, it might sound odd, but I hope it doesn't. And by God's grace, it won't. By God's grace, we can say these words from Psalm 119. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. For God is worthy of praise because He gave us this law. And the law is good. We read in Romans 7. The law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. Jesus, He fulfilled the law. The law points to Him. So just as the law was holy and just and good, we can be assured that Jesus, that He is holy and just and good. Because He is the one who the law was teaching us about. Without the law, we wouldn't see our need for Him. We wouldn't see His greatness, His love, His care for us. Without the law, we wouldn't see Jesus. So praise God for giving us the law so that we know our sin and misery. Praise God for giving us the law so that He can drive us to Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious God, our Heavenly Father, what a wonderful plan it was of yours to give us your word, so that through it you could teach us your awesome plan of salvation. And in your good pleasure you gave us your law, you gave us the Ten Commandments. In these Ten Commandments you show us your holiness, your perfect goodness. But in them, it's also revealed to us how far away we should be from you. Your law teaches us that we are deserving of death, that we are not worthy to come before you. Your law makes us despair. But Lord, there is so much grace in that. We thank you for showing your grace to us in that. Because although we despair because of our sin, you also show us that we cannot be saved. We can't come back to you to through anything we do. No, we can't do anything ourselves, but we need you and we need your saving grace. And you have given us that saving grace in Christ Jesus. His obedience to the law was perfect. And even though we do not deserve it, he gives us that perfect obedience as if we ourselves had kept all the commandments. Thank you for giving us your law to show us this. We need to know our sin and our misery to have comfort. Because without your law, we wouldn't know that we need a Savior. We know that you have taught us that we do not need, that we do need a Savior. And that you have taught us that this Savior is Jesus Christ. Help us run to him. Work your Spirit in our hearts to convict us of our sin, so that we can be driven into the loving arms of Jesus Christ, who takes all of our sin and misery away. When the devil convicts us so that we despair and feel so worthless that we don't believe that you could ever love us or take away our guilt, please show us the love and grace of Christ Jesus. For your grace in him covers all. Let that truth cling to us as we go from here. Work your Spirit in our hearts that our lives may reflect this truth as we live out our lives for Jesus Christ. We thank you for all the blessings that you give us in this life. Thank you for teaching us our sin and misery from the law. Let us praise you for this. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ alone. Amen.